Another line in the foreword is that Blazer's preoccupation with the shaping of a poetic utterance or a language whose objective was to make a public world present.
Yes.
So I'd love it if you could elaborate that. And I think as the interview progresses, we're going to get that. We've already gotten some of that. And I think maybe some of the basics that we haven't discussed, although he was raised in small town Idaho in orchard country in poverty.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was born in Denver in 1925.
Yes. Yes.
And then really going to Berkeley in 1944, blew his hat off.
Yes.
And meeting Duncan, Robert Duncan and Jack Spicer there, and forming what would later be known as the Berkeley Renaissance.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and his meeting with Spicer is also, it's just classic. So making the public world present, going to Berkeley, and then knock at the door.
Sure.
Jack Spicer, and he closes the door.
Yeah, slams the door in his face. Yes, that's right, yeah.
Which many people would probably think is an appropriate response to Jack Spicer.
Indeed, yes. Well, okay, so this is it. If you go back to the Idaho experience, in adolescence, as you know, the biography says, Robin turned to Catholicism, and I think that was a first reach for the big world. You know, most young people want to join the world in some way or another.
Well, when you say the big world, you mean a cosmology.
I mean something. A lot of people wouldn't call it a cosmology. I think it is a cosmology. You know, I think that maybe they don't realize that. But somehow to find a connection, to be somebody, maybe that's how it's thought of, especially in a kind of individualistic, ego-centered culture like ours. I want to be somebody. But you actually aren't somebody unless you get those connections. And religion, I mean, that's the tragedy of religion. Religion offered that and then misappropriated it at the same time,
right.
You know? So Catholicism. And he loved the glamour. He loved the robes. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
The ritual.
The ritual, yes. The whole rich thing, you know, the Catholic hierarchy and all that.
He talked about the robes and everything and the démolé.
Yeah.
When I interviewed him, I think I was the last person to interview him as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For Golden Handcuffs Review.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Catholicism.
So Catholicism. And so that was a first. Now that Catholicism does give you a world view, a big picture. It gives you, that's his love of Dante that never ends, right? It gives you a whole cosmos that is gives you a place to be, you know? As Robin says in The Fire, if you want, you can't be a self unless you have a world to be a self in, you know? The self and the world reverse into each other all the time. If you don't have a world, you don't really have a self either. Mm-hmm. So that was the first public world. That was his public world, you know. But of course, what happens? He gets to Berkeley, and the whole 20th century just hits. You know? It's really James Joyce, the big meltdown. That James Joyce was the challenge. It was Irish Catholicism. It was that hierarchy that he had grown up with and admired and wanted to be a part of at one point. That's there in a puddle kind of thing.
Mincemeat, I was going to say. Mm. Chop, chop, chop.
Yeah. And so meeting Jack Spicer and meeting Robert Duncan and being introduced to the modern... He makes a lot of that in the Astonishment tapes. The shock of it. You know, it was a shock. He was a bright young protege who was used to being successful in high school, a kind of big shot in a small town. He goes to Berkeley, he thinks he knows who he is, what he's doing there, and whoa, you know, it's the whole modernist upheaval that hits him very hard in Berkeley. So he had no world. There was none for him. He just lost it, he says. You know, So what do you do? Well, that's the whole story of his poetics. You have to build it again. And that's really what he was doing. That's why, you know, the poet is Odyssean. The 20th century poet is Odyssean because he's lost his home. And so that's the whole adventure of the poetry. And he does say in The Holy Forest, the whole thing, just trying to be at home. You know, that's the plot.
Right.
Okay. So where do you end up? Well, maybe in a dark wood because you've lost your way, you know, still playing off the Dante metaphors. But ultimately, you're going to wind up in purgatory because that's where you are if you don't have a bottom or a top. You know, if the hierarchy's been flattened out. So, like a very quick take on the two poles of his oeuvre, you know, begins with Dante because he had that book in the family home in the railroad car where they were living in Orchard, Idaho. And you're looking at hell when you're a tot, right? How scary is that? And then all the way over to 1997, the Dante Great Companion poem, where he says, well, you know, purgatory is here. It's here where we are. This is where we live, right? And we can create hell on earth too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very evident in 2020.
Yeah.
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 From his Berkeley professor, Ernst Kantorowicz, he got two main things: history as process, and that poetry is noetic.
Uh-huh.
The second of which I just love so much, and I want everyone to see this. I want the School of Quietude poets to see this.
Uh-huh.
There's only so much you're going to get in the poetry community when you say you're interested in the practice of outside or projective verse or organic poetry or spontaneous composition or any number of ways you could talk about what Robin did and his affinities with all the people that I mentioned at the top of the interview.
Yeah.
But if you use the phrase poetry is noetic, maybe that's going to be more effective at getting that across to people. So maybe you could talk about Kantorowicz and those what he got from them, including the poetry is noetic, which is what I'm interested in hearing about.
Okay, I think for that particular phrase, Robin thought all his life, never wavered on this, that poetry was a particular kind of knowing, that it was as valid in its way as all the other disciplines, as say biology, or psychology or philosophy. And that it didn't erase, it didn't trump those other modalities, those other ways of approaching the world, but it was equally valid, you know, that it was a mode of knowing. And that without it, the human universe, if I could borrow that phrase from Olson, is incomplete. You're missing something. You're missing an important, element of the way that human beings are in the world, the relationality of how they are in the world. I always think about poetic knowing as relational thinking.
Elaborate on that phrase.
Well, it's not that, I mean, poetry doesn't know things as facts, okay? It doesn't tell you what the boiling point of water is, or it doesn't really care.
Right.
But it will tell you what to do with it.
Right.
Okay? So it's not so much fact or knowledge or information as it is meaning. And meaning is only derived from relationship. Right? That's what...
I think of that Blazer quote, the muse is patient with truth and commentary as long as it doesn't get into the poem.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that the relationship between fact and information and knowledge, the other disciplines, and the poet, from Robin's point of view, would be that the poet can't afford to be ignorant, can't afford not to know when water boils, let's say, you know, cannot be a flat earther, has to keep up. But at the same time, that's not the poet's art. Right? The poet's art is what to do with that. Or, if I could quote Whitman, the path to forge a pathway between reality and the soul. But you better know what reality is. So Robin was always a voracious reader of things like, you know, Scientific American, and you know, he'd read magazine level accounts of the other disciplines. And he read philosophy directly, of course, mm-hmm. but you know, in terms of the sciences, and he really tried to keep up to what the discourse was, where it was going, and what were the big ideas being tossed around in the various discourses, because he thought it was his job mm-hmm. as a poet.